You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Is there anything better than cracking open a cold beer and listening to your favorite podcasts? No, sir, and I'm here to tell you that the beer you should be cracking is one from our new sponsor, Circle Brewing, located in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. You can have a frosty one in their fabulous tap room where lots of seasonal specials await you, or you can get lots of their treats in the bottle or can at your local craft beer retailer. Try their award-winning Alibi Blonde or their diabolically rich Devil Knight Barrel Age Stout. They have so many solid choices, and they are the official sponsor of OneOfUs.net. Support Circle Brewing and support us, and we really need your support. There is no site without subscribers, and that depends on you. Please think about becoming a subscriber, because we cannot do this without you. The four different subscription tiers are there to give different flavors of bonus content, but we absolutely need your help, whether you sign up to give $2, $5, $10, or $25 a month. Don't be one of those people who loves something but won't lift a finger to keep it around. Help one of us and keep those podcasts coming.
Previously on the final days of Gotham.
Oh, it's fitting we bring Alan back on for this episode of Gotham, because I feel like he's going to hate it. Oh, goodness. What was that?
Oh, fuck,
I love
yeah,
how
but I still
our, my allegiance with Alan is as fickle as all allegiances in Gotham.
So they wander about to this building that apparently has been converted into a church, and apparently the cast of the Book of Mormon musical is there attending.
I almost texted you, was like, yo, what's going on in the scene, man?
He exits and gets a choir who sings down, sings to him while he walks down the stairs.
I really didn't think that music was diegetic to the scene until like I saw the choir and I'm like, oh, wow, how extra.
It's amazing.
Lord, he's like, fuck,
Penguin,
he's like,
I've missed you. Never leave us again. What about Edward? What about the dog?
The dog came back to him, so.
Murder solves everything.
So, this was a surprising episode, to say the least.
Which part?
A lot of it.
Was it,
the whole thing.
This is run-of-the-mill for me. I don't know what you were really surprised about.
Like, we've already established that you're the curmudgeon on this podcast, so...
Oh, hey, people that enjoy Gotham, guess Jim and Penguin are going to join together, but at some point he's going to betray him. The Riddler's going to randomly meander about, and then turns out some stupid bullshit's going to happen, and then Zaz is awesome.
There you go. That's a review
you're
of...
You're out of order. This whole court is out of order.
You all, everyone stand and rise to the trial between everyone else on the podcast against Alan.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like the fucking trial, this episode will be just as much bullshit there.
You know, he's guilty. He's obviously guilty. Let's get the guillotine.
Get the guillotine.
It's sad that I'm not surprised
just in
anymore.
The back for whatever reason.
Fuck it. Are you really surprised?
Oh, man.
It's next to the Lord and Stocks and the wheelbarrow that we have, just this ancient technology that was once defunct.
Yeah, apparently that weird 17th century city that exists in Gotham with those crazy London hoodlums.
Yeah,
that's exactly where they found it from.
They called them up and was like, yo, do you guys have a guillotine around? Yeah, why? Oh, no reason.
Hey, yo, we were looking for the witch and suddenly she escaped. Do you know where our guillotine went? We didn't even use it. We thought it was pretty impractical, but someone stole it.
Oh, man. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about this episode. This is the episode Ruin, fourth episode of the season so far, and it's directed by Nathan Hope. Now, what's interesting here is that Nathan Hope is one of those, like, you know, kind of like last week's director. He's one of those guys who's a veteran, especially for Fox TV shows. Let's see. He directed a bunch of Lethal Weapon. He directed Lucifer, Training Day, the TV show there. He's pretty much been a mainstay on the recent Fox shows for a while now.
I'm so sorry for that, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, his fucking career sucks.
Hey, Lucifer's not that bad.
Sure.
Nathan Hope directs the episode where all hope is lost. How ironic.
It's very true, especially the way this episode starts when you find out the actual death toll of the building explosion. You're like, 300
people? So many teddy bears died.
Look, I forgot, that's the opening shot, was the burning teddy bear.
The opening shot is where their teddy bear is on fire, and I was just like, is this because they wouldn't let you show a child crying and then being also on fire?
I mean, they've already murdered some children in this show, to be fair, so...
Hey, look at it this way. You have more food now.
Aww.
It's like, Yeah, but they have less water.
True.
Okay, yeah, I gotta say, Jim, maybe that's not the right idea to say use all the drinking water to put out the building fires.
Well, you didn't use all, but, like, I'm sorry, but, like, I mean, I guess you're looking for survivors, but that building fucking blew up, man. Like, yeah. Why are you using all the drinking water? Just say fuck it and be like, you know what, let the gods sort them out.
Yeah, and then also, of course, because in the midst of the confusion, Barbara, who was like, I'm gonna go shoot Penguin, decides not to, because plot had to happen, I guess.
Oh, no, you know why? Because I can't remember if it was Travis or Nick that called it out, saying that they're gonna get together at the end of the season. I can't unsee it. Well, every single time that she's on screen, it's like they're trying to lessen how much of an evil, psychotic bitch she is. Mm-hmm. Like, at one point, she asks, Jim, do you really think I would do this? Which I yell, yes. Yes, I fucking would think you would do this. See, you are crazy.
What we said is like, no, not this season. Season one and or two and three, definitely.
Season two and three, Barbara? Probably. Yep. Like, it wouldn't be off the table.
She actually attempted it multiple times.
Yeah.
I did love that scene because I actually liked it. I was like, you know what? The horror and senseless violence was enough to even shake her out of, like, her, like, oh,
stupor.
Maybe, yeah, just like your stupor, yeah. Like, maybe something things are more important. Although I will admit that I did, when that scene ended, I did think to myself, maybe this will make Jim name his kid after me.
Which also, I totally called it ever since this first episode of the podcast. I totally called it that it was going that point, but we're getting ahead of ourselves at this point because there's a
Let's
lot.
Let's go back to the 311 dead people.
Yeah, 311 dead people. Like, freaking wow, Gotham! You guys just is there anybody?
Kind of a bummer.
Yeah, is there anybody left to defend in this season?
Are there any cops left?
Apparently, yes. That spawn pool they keep generating from is. Yes. Been replenished.
Well, not only that, but Harvey comes up like, oh yeah, we found your badge, Jim, indicating that cool little kid that we found from last episode
is incinerated,
got real dead.
Yep.
Or maybe Harvey just didn't have the heart to go, yeah, we found your badge on with this one corpse that was really fucked up, like, aww. It looked like this guy was actually kind of alive for like a long time afterwards and suffered a lot. Anyway, I hope you didn't know him. Like, they really started to pile it on. I'm like, geez, Gotham, like, you're a little more fun than this.
Yeah, so that's the starting point of this episode, and that leads to an impetus for a lot of the action of this episode, where they're trying to investigate who actually blew up the building, because that leads Jim and Harvey on an investigation to another part of the city, and of course, because Penguin can't not be the center of attention in anything he does, decides, you know what, I'm going to help take the glory, and I'm going to team up with you to hunt down this guy, because I feel bad, I guess.
Well, because no, well, he wants his people back. They were a good resource for him.
Yeah.
Well, he also learned the lesson of, like, people hated him before when he was trying to control through fear. So now he's using the mob mentality, like, okay, well, maybe I can switch this around. And, like, what he learned in what season, that he was going to be mayor?
Oh, season,
like,
3. Yeah.
Like, yeah, and I'll be like, okay, well, I'll provide even just some false justice, and then the people will follow me.
Pretty much.
But the thing is, this is the consistent problem I have with Penguin, is that this is a rinse and repeat strategy for him. Let me join up with Gordon, let me give him all the guns and weapons, and let's hope nothing fucks up over the course of the next 15, 20 minutes, because it's like, he's done this over and over and over again, where he joins up with Jim simply just to betray him later on. This is more of him just trying to get back.
Him and Jim are the best of frenemies.
Dude, the sexual tension that I feel between Penguin is like, Gordon, like, this all, like, you know, Jim, I just can't stay mad at you. Come here, you big, big lug. Here, take a machine gun.
It was last episode he wanted him dead.
That was a whole episode ago. I love you.
Penguin is going to be James Gordon's best man when they renew the vows.
But during the best man speech, he will betray him.
Pull out a bunch of guns. Why'd you pull them out? I don't know. Force of habit.
Look, I just kind of like that Jim is kind of one of Penguin's best friends, if you think about
it. Well, I mean, to be fair, like, Penguin owes his entire life to Jim not shooting him in the first episode, so.
Right. And they have a whole long history of teaming up and doing stuff together. And, you know, Jim does know him almost better than anyone else does. Yeah. Like, especially since Penn died.
Yeah.
It gets to the point where, why would Jim knows him better than anyone? He knows at some point some little thing is going to cause, you know, Penguin to betray him, because it always does.
He's a Scorpion.
Yeah, but see, why, like, he's consistent about it, so it's probably fine. It's like a clockwork thing.
But at least they team up for a little bit, because one of the big things they find is that someone's been snooping around an abandoned building, and because the Gotham creators must have heard our podcast and said, oh, you wanted to see Victor Zsasz? Don't worry, guys. Here he is. And that was
he comes in as awesome as always.
That voice.
Man, dude, Zaz was so awesome this episode. Like,
he was having fun.
Oh yes,
hi guys.
About that Sophia Falcone thing. You gotta let that go, buddy. Not healthy.
Seriously, like, he had like 5 big laughs in this whole episode from me. I'm just like, this dude. Like, everything he's saying is great in this. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, even since Barry, he's gotten better. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was gonna say that maybe he's been doing. He's still filming season 2 of Barry. That's why
I just love during the hail of gunfire, he gets a big gulp and like starts to. And I was like, where did he get that? There's no open fast food restaurant. Like, he got, like,
that.
He got the cup from a big Kahuna burger from Pulp Fiction. Like,
look, Condiment King is really good, and he's keeping the food going.
He's keeping the fast food district open. Yeah, there
exactly.
We go. But yeah, so they have a whole hail of gunfire from Penguin and the cops to distract him while Jim sets up his Arkham City takedown maneuver to one-punch Zaz into his unconsciousness.
Dude, wow, does he rocket out of nowhere.
His flying tackle was something to behold.
It was impressive.
Hey, good thing we timed that fucking hail of gunfire. This one ended entirely differently.
I know, and amazing that they didn't need to reload in that entire 2 minutes they were firing at him, apparently. So.
No, they just staggered their gunfire. Like, at least that's what I would assume.
Look, even though they fire 1,500 rounds per minute, they had 1,500 rounds in that fucking gun.
So, yeah, they capture Zaz, and that brings Zaz back to them to interrogate him, just like, oh, we know that you blew up the building, didn't you? Someone saw you exit the building right when it was about to blow up. It's like, yes, I was there, but no, I didn't blow up the building. And, of course, people don't believe him at first, until we see that there's another investigation going on, because, funny enough, they somehow tie Riddler back into the main plot, because, like, oh, yeah, by the way, he's been giving himself cryptic messages that leads him into the GCPD, and apparently it's really easy for him to sneak into the GCPD, just puts a
He's
giant...
always been able to just walk in, like, every time
seriously,
he's been there.
Seriously, he just
there.
Puts a poncho on and just walks through. It's like...
I mean, to be fair, they've had refugees walking in and out, like...
Well, then, there is point here that... A bunch of people saw Victor Zaz walk in and did not mention until after the place blew up.
Yeah, you think that might warrant some attention. Just like, oh, by the way, this infamous hitman is just wandering about.
Yeah,
hey, or Penguin, this infamous hitman. Like,
or
on.
Anyone on the street could go, hey, I saw this snake-looking motherfucker that doesn't have any eyebrows. Like, I just thought it was kind of weird.
Look,
is he a
he
villain?
He was wearing a poncho, too.
They're all you need to do is just wear a poncho to sneak in. There you
Everyone
go.
Just wears a shawl and is like, oh, I'm just a poor woman looking for
Hey,
where's
for the assassins, man?
Oh, man. But yeah, so Riddler is trying to find a file on something that seems to say inmate 125, and that has him bump into Lucius, where it's like, okay, well, I found the file, and if you want to get it, you have to help me investigate who blew up this building.
Yep. God, was this a lovely low point for Riddler, too? Because, like, he goes to grab the file from Lucius, and Lucius
that was
stands
so funny.
There.
You're pathetically weak.
Even Lucius was guy like, really? Like, come on, man. You're better than this.
No, but this is another thing where I'm pretty sure they were listening to us, like, no, Ed needs someone to bounce off of. Give
yes.
him someone to bounce off of.
Yeah.
So they found the second sassiest person, which happens to be Lucius yeah. around.
That's exactly what I thought the entire time. I'm just like, somebody's been listening to me this whole time, because... Man, Lucius and Ed, like, I kind of like them enough when they're trying to be the whole rivalry in the beginning, like season 3 or whatever. This is probably the best stuff they've done together.
Also a pretty good reason to bring Riddler on the plot. Like, Lucius is, like, having a hard time, like, we gotta find out who did this very quickly, and he's like, well, I mean, I can use Riddler for that, and, like, just having that instant leverage over him. Was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, no, they had some good laughs, especially the part when they go onto the rooftop where apparently they suspect that something came over and someone came over and shot an RPG at the building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, I think an RPG was shot here. Oh, why do you believe that? Well, because the RPG case is right there. Oh.
that would be an indication.
I see you judge the trajectory and the angle of the shot as well as the distance. Like, yeah, but also the case is right there. Like... We're just like, well,
you
can't
just roll
catch them all.
Yes, I'm super smart.
And that's a pretty sloppy assassin that you would just leave a giant freaking RPG case in the middle for people to find. But I guess by that point, nobody's looking anyways. So.
Who would, like, unless, oh, well, hey, we found the murder weapon. Whoop-de-fucking-do.
Yeah.
Unless you want people to catch you.
Dun, dun, dun. Cause, and that is something we'll get to, because when they start to reveal that, oh, by the way, it's an RPG... Penguin, who's pretty much made up his mind that he's going to kill Zaz no matter what, decides, oh yeah, no, we're going to bring him over, and since you won't let me actually shoot him on the spot, we're going to have a M-style trial of the people sequence, which, that was interesting, to say in the least.
Yeah. Do I get a lawyer? I feel like my civil rights are being violated.
You have the right to remain silent.
You know, although we did skip over one of my my favorite lines from Zaz, which was like, yeah, I thought I'd steal some food from you guys while you're preoccupied. Do you guys have any canned peaches? I'd give an arm and a leg for those. Not mine, someone else's
yeah.
arm and leg.
That was my favorite line this whole episode. It was great. No, so that was all fun. They have their whole mock trial where Penguin gives his little defense, then Jim gives a rousing, stirring speech to defend Zaz, which...
Yeah, after he says, I'm not going to give them a speech. That's not going to help. 10 seconds later, speech!
Yeah.
I thought that was... hilarious. Like, Gordon, if, like, he gives another big speech, and then the crowd goes, yeah, we're sick of that. Like,
they wait for half a second, and they go, nah, fuck
kill
that.
Him.
Yes, I love this stunning retale of the problems of the courts and the criminal justice system.
Yeah, so there's that, and it fails, and they're about to execute Zaz with a freaking guillotine. They somehow found a guillotine in this city.
The fact that that surprises anybody, like, I saw that, I was like, yeah, guillotine, that's about right. I mean, it's either that or a noose.
Again, this is this weird time period in Gotham where they have cell phones, rocket launchers, and old-timey murder weapons.
Again, no, it's not like, surprised.
Gotham is just a weird nexus. It's weird.
I mean, what? One guy used a pitchfork
like my guillotine? I got it from the murder museum.
Yeah, somewhere the Madame Tussauds Museum is around there with their history of murder. Which actually was a thing I saw in London. But anyways, so Jim and Harvey stage a kind of boneheaded rescue to get Zaz out of there, but whatever, it worked, apparently.
Well, Justin, we can't let Zaz die for something he didn't do.
What about all the stuff he did do?
We could let him die for all the murders he did commit.
Yeah.
But that's not right.
Yeah.
But no, he doesn't actually let him go, because he wants to duel him first.
Yeah, so they rescue Zaz, they bring him out, because they're like, oh, well, you know, we don't want you to ever come back. And he's like, well, you think you're so noble, Jim, but this city's always going to be owned by the bad guys, you know? And Jim's just like, all right, you're so bad, here. And he walks 10 paces away. How about you take Harvey's gun and try to shoot me? Because he's literally trying to find an excuse to use self-defense as a way to kill Zaz.
Because we're in the fucking Wild West here.
I like how Gordon is like, yeah, if you draw down on that, I'm going to take you out. And I'm like, Jim, really, you could shoot him? And I don't think anyone's going to blame you for, like, because, I mean, we as an audience love Zaz.
Right.
But in this context of the...
For everyone else in Gotham?
In the context of the show, he's a monster.
No, yeah. Both Penguin and Barbara would be like, yeah, that's fine.
Like, yeah, I don't think anyone would be mad.
Yeah, no,
except for Harvey for some fucking reason.
Yeah, that was because obviously Zaz decides, you know what, maybe I just won't even bother, so he just leaves, and Harvey's just all like,
you seem tired, we'll do this another time.
Yeah, and Harvey's all pissed at Jim, just like, oh, don't you ever freaking make me do that again. And it's like, hasn't he made you do something like this like literally 5 times every season?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, shit, you told him earlier this season to shoot fucking Penguin in the face.
Right? Yeah, what was that, where he's just like, you know, maybe you should have killed Penguin. I don't know. So there's all that. And then I don't know if I want to talk about, well, I mean, we already pretty much spoiled it. The very last scene in Jim's storyline here, where Barbara's been kind of cutting in and out because he, you know, went to go ask her for some information at one point, and then she comes back to visit him after this whole charade happens. And once you know it, there's still the sparks of, I don't know, fully romance, maybe just lust. But yeah, they have a big old makeout at the end of this episode.
I said leave. I heard you. I'm just not listening. Because consent doesn't matter to me. I'm a bad girl.
Well, I mean,
that's right. That's right. Name your kid after me.
Yeah, that's going to be a weird explanation. So what was it like being married to mom? Oh, there was that one time for about 4 years when she became a psychopathic murderer and tried to kill another woman I loved.
But then she got better, right?
Sure.
I just got weirder.
Man, I can only imagine what married life between Barbara and Jim would be like in the future. Just this insane back and forth like that. Ugh, jeez. But yeah, so that happened. Again, I called it. I could see the signs from the commercials, but hey. I can't. I have no words for it. It happened.
It's fucking stupid.
It's
dumb. There's a few words.
It is pretty dumb. At the same time, I'm like, well, you know, now that Lee has left his life, he kind of needs somebody, so I guess.
Oh, no, he fucking
you
doesn't.
Know that Lee, now that they're hooked up, Lee is definitely coming back in like 2 episodes, right?
Two? Maybe one.
To get shot.
Yeah.
We got to kill her off.
Which I'm almost just like, you know what? At this point, I don't want Lee to come back. I kind of want to see how this insane relationship plays out. You know,
threesome.
Oh man, jeez. But yeah, so there's that.
Or better, they actually leave Jim for each other. Either way, I'll take it.
That happened with Tabitha.
Right.
That's fine.
We've already been there.
Because remember when Renee Montoya was a thing in this show and they just never mentioned her again after she stole Barbara?
I remember Harvey Dent for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of season one they don't bring back.
Yeah.
Which is good because that season is awful. But yeah, Harvey Dent and the two FBI agents, they just forgot about.
Oh, yeah, I forgot there were two FBI agents.
Yeah, that's the first season when Victor, like, one of the best moments of Victor's ass, when he goes in and basically, like, tells all the police officers, hey, leave, I'm going to shoot Jim Gordon in the face.
Oh, I remember that scene for sure, but...
Well, that was back when they actually had people investigating Gotham for corruption, and they, like, gave up on that by season two. They're like, nope, this place is fucked.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they didn't have to investigate very hard to go, like, you know what? There's corruption literally everywhere we look in this city.
No, so. There's not that many cops to investigate. There's, like, 10.
Screw it. We'll just send in Vic Mackey and hope for the best.
That didn't work out.
Yeah. But, you know, we've been talking a lot about this stuff because there was an other plot line that was happening here. Oh, but actually, you know what? Before we do that, we should explain what happened at the end of Riddler's plot line. Because,
for sure.
Well, this was an interesting twist. So we find out who actually shot the RPG because when Lucius and Riddler part ways, because Riddler's like, okay, I got the file. Oh, but the guy I'm looking for apparently has been dead for years. And then he sees this little old lady across the street who sees him. And he's like, oh, I think I know who that is. And he realizes that the message he wrote was actually for himself. Because, in a twist, you realize, dun-dun-dun, that alter ego Riddler actually shot the RPG at the building. Which...
For some fucking reason.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I mean, they hinted at something where it's like, oh, there's somebody who's going around the city selling RPGs, which, Bane, I guess, question mark? Pretty much anything you have to assume is Bane at some point in this show.
At this point, Bane's never going to show up. Fuck it. It's just going
to
be the Riddler
now. That would lead us to assume that Riddler also shot down the helicopter as well. Right.
Riddler seems to be freaking everywhere in this show.
It makes no sense, but I do appreciate one thing about the show, because this show's not fucking subtle. The show's never been subtle. But I do appreciate one thing was when he goes up to the woman's apartment, it says 1125. The show doesn't stop or have him read it. It's just for the audience to go, oh, this is what he meant. So good thing he just happened to work with the police department or he would have been fucked.
Yeah. No.
Well, it was one of those things where, like, his alter ego hid part of the message from him, but not all of it. So, instead of inmate 125 or 1125 knows, it's, like, woman in apartment 1125 knows. Right.
How cool would this be if there's not an alter ego, but it's just Bane fucking with him?
He's been programmed.
Does work. Like, he ties him up, he does all this weird stuff, and he... Oh, no, that doesn't explain that, the street demon dude.
No, nothing explains anything in the show. But I do love the way that he has to decide. It's like, you know what? Nobody needs to know about this. So he just... Because the little old lady's in a wheelchair. So, pianist style, he just rolls her out to the window and tosses her out. You're just like...
Awesome.
That was hilarious. I was just like, gosh,
90-year-old woman. It's a 90-year-old woman in the apocalypse alone in an apartment that's clearly rich. It's like, you were just here to be murdered.
Also, how did this lady survive by her own all that time? You know, seriously.
Very good question.
And in Rookie Sensation, Edward Nigma comes up for the granny shot put competition. And, ooh, looks like he's coming up on the window. And his form looks good.
Wow. And yeah.
He landed on a car and a cat.
Oh yeah, there's that weird cat sound effect in the bottom there.
There's always that cat sound effect. Yeah, it's a discount car and cat sound effect.
Well, speaking of cats,
transition.
Yeah,
damn
now,
it.
Now this is the part where I will admit it's like this was the reason why I only say this is the least interesting part of the episode because there was barely any time spent on this plot line with Bruce and Selina. Because, you know, where it picks up immediately after where the last episode was, where Bruce is handcuffed to the door, to the gate, or whatever that is. And as a bunch of Joker henchmen are coming to kill him, thankfully,
Alfred.
Alfred. My names are all mixed up here. Alfred comes in to save the day because, revealing another Batman gadget, Bruce had a tracer on him that they were using to help track him down. So
I do love, though, like, when the henchmen showed up, Bruce just like, oh, hey.
I love how he was like, oh, hey.
He's like, well, shit, I only got one hand. Y'all are really outnumbered, huh?
He did manage to take out those two guys pretty handily.
Really well, actually. That's pretty cheaply choreographed.
I always love it, like, eventually where one henchman does remember that, oh, right, guns exist.
Yeah, and apparently, though, that he doesn't realize that guns work at a distance, so he's like, I need to walk up and shoot him. So,
I mean, maybe he doesn't want to shoot a kid in the face?
Or maybe he does. Maybe he needs the accuracy to be really close up.
It's Gotham, so who knows?
Yeah, so Alfred helps him, and they have to go after Selina, and they trace her down to... I'm assuming just that same freaking hole that the soothsayers were digging.
Only now they're digging it themselves.
Yeah, because wasn't that Sykes at the beginning in that part there?
Who got murdered.
Yeah, literally the guy who was so useless, they're just like, okay, well, we don't need him anymore. So his very first line, he didn't even get to finish. It's like, hey, why are we still digging this freaking hole? And he just gets his throat slit out by Joker. Or, sorry, Jeremy.
Yeah, because Jerome was like, wait, your character's contradicting yourself. Time to kill you. Because your first words when we first saw you was dig the fucking hole.
I would love to hear the conversation with that actor and his agent when he described his role in the show. Like, oh man, I didn't really get a whole lot to do in that last episode. I come back though, right? Like, and then, like, just his agent on the other line, like, yeah.
Yeah, so that happens, and there's this bizarre sequence where Jeremiah and Echo as Harley Quinn-ish, I guess, have a dance exposition scene where she tells...
Harley Quinn.
Yeah, Harley Quinn, there we go. They have a dance exposition scene where she tells them exactly what happened last episode. Just like, okay, I get they're trying to do the whole, like, oh, this is just like in the comics or in the animated series kind of thing, but I'm like, sure, it was... odd, to say the least.
So Jeremiah seems to be kind of laughing to himself, like he's kind of losing it or something.
Yeah, he seems crazy. Like he's like, they're trying, like, it seems like they listen to all your guys' complaints. They're just like, yeah, Jeremiah doesn't seem to be very manic. He doesn't seem very crazy. So it's like, okay, we need to, like, subtly show him becoming more crazy.
Fucking reason. Because, you know, nothing can be natural in this fucking show. One moment they're crazy, one moment they're not.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, every once in a while they try and do this with a Joker that doesn't laugh, and that, like, never works.
Yeah.
Like in the comics, it's like, yeah, this sucks. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's kind of worked in spots where they had, like, the Dark Joker with his face torn off in the Death in the Family, where it's like, okay, he has somewhat of a humor, but he's still, like, menacing as heck in that comic. But,
well, it's because the live-action laugh doesn't work as well as freaking Mark Hamill's animated laugh. Like, they've tried. Like, the Dark Knight gets it, but, like, come on, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
The laugh doesn't work.
Jerome was a pretty good version of the Joker, like, with the whole laugh and everything.
Yeah.
Like, we were all kind of like, yeah, we're done with this.
Yeah, it seems like they were trying to push him back into being Jerome in this case. But, of course, surprisingly, that doesn't last very long, because Selina has been tracking him down and, disguised as one of the soothsayers, runs up and freaking murders him by stabbing him with a knife, like, 17 times in the chest.
Yeah. They got right to the point on that one.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so that's a fake out. He's wearing armor or something like that. It's like, nope, he's pretty freaking dead.
He got stabbed a lot.
Yeah.
Man, he'll be back.
I mean,
it doesn't mean anything.
I figure he's going to be back, but I'm actually kind of stumped as to how, considering we got rid of a lot of our bring people back from the dead technology.
Mm-hmm. Echo's going to go find Poison Ivy. He's going to give him that blood thing. It'll unlock his darkest parts.
Oh my gosh, if that's actually the way they bring back Ivy.
My god, it has
all that. Because I know we were saying how...
you get the miracle seed, and you get the miracle seed. Everyone gets miracle seeds.
Everyone gets a little bit
except of Ivy.
Except
for that kid that died in the explosion. Fuck him.
Halfway through, guys, it's just a placebo. It does nothing.
It was all inside.
I also did like that when Jeremiah gets stabbed, he's like, oh, Selina, I have to say, and then Selina goes through it again, like, going. Don't say shit.
No, I'm glad they did that, because I'm so sick of the one stab, because one stab wound in this show doesn't seem to kill anybody. But then, two, it's like, oh, she's just going to keep fucking going until someone stops her. And then Bruce comes in, it's like, oh, we got to stop her. Man, he got stabbed 3 times in the heart.
Dude, you're a couple stabs too late.
Right?
Like, yeah, I mean, maybe if you didn't wait so long to take out those three people, like, so elaborately, maybe you would have stopped her from stabbing him, but, you know.
And then you could have repeated the lines you've been repeating this whole show of, Selina, stop! Selina, stop!
Yeah, so there's that. I mean, that wasn't the ending of the whole episode, but that was definitely one of those big... Yeah, I was just like, I have no idea where this is going now from this. So, but we do know, based on the preview that we saw at the end of this episode, that, you know, she's going to bring back Jeremiah's body, like kind of like they did with the Riddler to the Sirens Club, and that whole thing's going to be going on there, and then... I don't know what else is... Oh,
across the city!
Yeah, and then also apparently they're bringing in this new character who is... Oh god, he's a mercenary named Eduardo Durance, which they claim to be part of... So, knowing the premise of this episode, it's called Peinadura or Peñadura, however you
say it. Oh, well, Bane, there you go.
Yeah, and I know a thing about this character that, I mean, unless you guys want to know for sure, I won't spoil it unless you want me to.
The name does not sound familiar to me.
I've not heard of it, but based on that way, based on the way you tried to pronounce that episode, I'm assuming this is where we finally get Bane in.
Yeah, I think you might have figured it out by that point. So, yeah, there's a whole twist involving that, apparently. So we will soon see Bane show up in this show, finally.
Episode 11.
Cool. Yeah. And did you guys see the costume design that they posted up for him?
No.
Nope.
I saw a garbage one, so hopefully they change it for the show.
Knowing the costume designs they've done before for this show, probably not.
I mean, some of them have been good. Like,
what are you talking about? Scarecrow is unbelievably
stupid. Dude, Bruce's Batman outfit was amazing.
Oh my god, that was okay. Like, Riddler's outfit's pretty good, I'm not gonna lie there. Firefly's outfit's pretty good too. Mr. Freeze's outfit has too much going on.
Yeah
No, so that's all I gotta really say about the episode. Is there any like major points that I missed going through that?
We missed one of the funnier lines from Harley Quinn, which was, "All right, boys, make like my daddy did before my 6th birthday and move out."
That was good. I was like, where are you going with this?
I actually, you know, I will say this, is probably the funniest episode they've done all season, to say the least. And
the darkest.
Also, I have just random in my notes, like, my notes were fun for this one, because it's, at certain points, it's just, "Zazz!" Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. And Alfred is the best, because... Alfred, like, shows up and is like, you know, Master B, you're going to figure out that no matter how much hard you try, you can't save this chick from herself. But until that day,
let's
better
go get
her.
Yeah, let's go.
That's
go
a good line.
Like, I love that. Like, that's a whole thing with their relationship of, like, you know what? You will figure this out one day, but until that day, I got your back.
You know, because he's a good father, dang it.
Well, yeah, except for the fact that he taught his son how to fight and really is not helping with his whole adrenaline junkie thing.
No. But again, it's just a lot of the lines you're seeing is that they are. They want to establish a baseline for the universe because they want to get into some version of a status quo where when the episode 12 happens, it's going to be year one. Like, I guarantee you the end of the fucking series is going to have, like, 10 years later, and it's going to show him in full Batman.
Oh, they've more or less confirmed that, from what I've heard.
Yeah, when I was at Comic-Con, they basically said, like, yeah, the last episode's going to be a time jump, see what the status quo is, like, 10 years later or something.
Yeah.
I bet it's still going to suck.
I'm sure. But we will
see. Oh, could you imagine the plot twist? It's like Metropolis, everything's good, everything worked out.
Wow,
basically everything's better.
They really cleaned up Gotham after the whole No Man's Land thing.
Man, it turns out they didn't need a Batman, they just needed an earthquake or just a natural disaster to cut Gotham off from everybody else.
And wouldn't you know it, I mean, Jim Gordon actually became Batman at this universe, apparently, so...
Stop saying that.
Seriously, dude, Jim Gordon, this is the story of Batman as...
Ooh,
Jim Gordon
and then Barbara Keen is Batgirl.
There you go.
Oh, man. Yes.
Well, she actually just really likes leather, and she calls herself Batgirl. It's a whole thing.
Well, and she is lesbian, at least, so she could be Batwoman. So there we go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, no. You know, that's solely the name of Batwoman on this fucking podcast.
Well, that's all I got is...
I was like, don't you dare sully the name of Batwoman.
Yeah, you damn right I said that.
How dare you?
Save it for the CW, where we'll have more than 5 seasons.
I object.
You also presume too much, Alan, if you think he's going to make 5 seasons. But we'll see.
Every other show on the CW has gone
that far. CW doesn't allow anything to be canceled.
True.
Like, 5 is actually probably undercutting it. It'll have 15.
Yeah.
Hey, that's Supernatural.
Still let
14,
they still let Arrow on the air. How bad would Batwoman have to be, right?
True. Very true. I stand corrected. But, yeah, that's all I got to say. I mean, you know, it's funny because I thought it would have a lot more to say, but honestly, you know, I kind of...
It's a pretty simple episode.
Yeah, but I actually think this is one of the better episodes they did this season so far, so...
I agree.
Yeah. Zazzle's in it.
Yeah, Zazzle's in it, but yeah, the Jim Gordon and Harvey stuff are probably the best that they've had the last couple of episodes, but the other two plot lines are, I guess, yeah, we'll go with the Batman. Some of the plot lines just feel like they're just throwing them out, like...
Well, see, here's the weird thing.
The episode did not...
Oh, sorry, but the weird thing is, like, I kind of agree with you somewhat, where it feels like some of the plot lines they're not sure where to go with, but it doesn't seem like they're consistently knowing where they're not going, because it's like, they'll have, like, fits and starts of interest, where it's like, okay, the Bruce stuff's kind of boring, oh, it's kind of getting interesting again, oh, now it's really boring again, oh, it's getting interesting again, I'm just like, so where, I don't know, because then...
There's no focus, like, there's no focus to any of the episodes, like, honestly, you could have cut out the... the Bruce and Selina and all that stuff, and had a much better, more tighter episode. Because, yeah, the Riddler stuff does tie into the main plot and it works out. But that plot, like, you can honestly edit this episode and save yourself 10 minutes, and it would not change the episode at all.
I guess, but...
Well, the only time, like, I was confused was that, like, how long is Bruce handcuffed to that door? Because, like, the amount of time that's passing for Jim and everybody else does not seem to be the same amount of time that's passing for Bruce and Selina.
Right.
I mean, apparently it wasn't too far away, because she still had that... Harley still had that cult of Mormons who were following her back into the digging area, so... Yeah,
but I thought Riddler was actually pretty funny, investigating what turns out to be himself, very, you know, Memento style, like, oh, I'm always looking for the, you know, or Fight Club, like, looking for the guy that ends up being me.
Oh, that totally was a Fight Club moment, yeah, for sure, which, I'm curious where that's gonna go now, because I'm just like, I just can't imagine, like, one, I hope they don't push away Riddler from the storyline, because it's like, yeah, this is, just keep him at the GCPD or somewhere nearby at least, you know, because he really needs to stick around other people to talk to. So,
yeah. Well, he now knows that he's responsible, but he just doesn't know why he did it.
True. And no one needs to figure out that he actually was responsible, so...
Oh, they will. It always happens.
Oh, I'm sure, but... Well, apparently, though, it does show in the preview, too, that he's going to confront Penguin at some point, so who knows where that's going to go.
That'll be fun.
I bet the writers in Gotham are wondering the same thing.
Alright, well, that's all I gotta say about that. So, thank you guys as usual. I think that's the gist I gotta say. So, you know, Nick and Travis, where can they find you on the internet?
Well, they can find me loading up my ancient guillotine for Alan over here, that's for sure.
I'll be the angry mob.
Kill him! Kill him! but yes, you can also find me over at Nick Theis, Theyes, over on Twitter and Facebook, as well as all of our podcasting projects, including the UGO podcast, that's Unapologetic Geek Out on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as our movie review podcast, Netflix and Kill, also on its own iTunes and Stitcher feed, as well as its sad news for Stand Against Evil that has now just been canceled. But you know what? Pod Against Evil is still up and running if you want to check out our seasons 1 through 3 of that amazing show that we covered on that podcast as well. Also available wherever podcasts are, you know, made known to the world.
Yeah. Well, at least it had as many seasons as Ash vs. Evil Dead, so, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Two.
Nah, but then, Alan, where can they find you on the internet?
Yes, if you go to Facebook and type in Midnight Chat Attack, one word, you will find me where I'll be speaking belligerently about a whole number of topics. so yeah, just type it in there. There's going to be a bunch of links on there to our Twitch page where we usually live stream. That's also at Chat Attack for the Chat Attack stats Twitch, or however Twitch works. If you put Chat Attack into Twitch, you will find his Big Orange's logo, so be sure to check that out.
However that site is that you've been streaming on for however many months now. but anyways, you can find us here at oneofus.net. You know, I do the notes for the Breakfast Pub. I do this podcast. We do the Eye on the Prize, which, hey, Eye on the Prize now has its own iTunes feed for itself. So that's really awesome. I know, for the few people who are following the Oscar podcast, which, thank you very much. You guys are big fans, and we love you. And then the Screener Squad, which we've had some pretty good movies, at least on the docket lately. You guys will hear some new reviews coming out Monday and then later next Friday as well. So that'll be cool. So until then, I cannot wait to see where this season goes. It's 4 episodes in, and it's just feeling like we already got, like, what, a season's worth of content and that stuff. So, anyways, all right, see ya.